Okay, pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together, Lord, we come to your word, Lord. You minister to us your anointing, your life, your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just come to you, Lord, with open heart for you to minister, Lord, so that we may be able to hear and receive and put it, Lord, your truth to work in our lives. That we, Lord, may be able to overcome everything that comes against us. Because if you are for us, who can be against us? And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we are aware of that. We are aware that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us forever. And Lord, that we just receive from you the strength, the anointing, the understanding, the freedom, the healing, everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, John 10:10 says that Jesus, you know, the thief comes but to kill and steal and destroy. And he came to give us life more abundantly. You know, this is the truth that he told us. However, you know, it's sad to see that not many believers come into the experience of that abundant life that is beyond any imagination that we can think of. There is more than what we normally experience. And we had to connect with God to be able to appropriate that. We need to understand, we need to receive, we need to participate in what he has done for us so that it can become manifested in our lives. You know, 3 John 2 said very clearly, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." There's too many believers that don't prosper from the financial aspect, from the physical things, from even in health. And really, God's desire is for us to have breakthroughs, to be able to overcome all the things that the enemy throws at us. We have to understand where it's coming from, and we have to take a position. And we had to connect with God to be able to manifest what he wants to do in our lives. But to do that, there is, you know, we need to have some understanding. Understanding is important for us to appropriate. Otherwise, what happens, you know, we have breakthrough now and then, but it's not a regular thing. God wants us to experience continuously abundance, continuously blessings. Okay. We can see it in the Old Testament already, but it's even more true today. We should be able to have much more of the manifestation of God's blessings in our lives. But we have to understand what hinders that manifestation. And often we have, you know, our perception of things put us in a position that makes it difficult for us to receive. I want to share with you some ideas, some principles that the Bible talks about and that make us understand the way we work. Because God has done everything. Can you say everything? Everything that needed to be done. Okay, the part is missing is not God. It's us. It's our lack of perception, it's lack of connecting with God. If we would connect with God fully the way Jesus did, we would walk like Jesus did. And this is God's plan for us. Now, what is the problem? Well, you know, when God created us, okay, Genesis 2:7. I'm going back there because this is really the starting point and the thing that we need to appreciate and understand to be able to break through what is inside us that stop us from receiving. It says in 2:7, Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Or a living being, whatever. So the thing is, see, there are two parts, really, that were to start with. There was the body that was dead and was made of clay. And the spirit that God breathed into man to give him life. As a result of that, a third element came to be, which is the soul. Which is really the part that is our includes things like our intellects, our thinking, our self-awareness, our will, you know, and all these, you know, all these things are, in, you know, all these different part of us that weren't there before. They came as a result of the interaction between spirit when the spirit met the body. Now, the thing we have to understand that we often separate ourselves in three parts. But really, there are not three parts. We are one thing. We cannot really effectively take one part off. Now, our body presently is not in the condition that was when God created it. And because of that, and so even in our soul is not in the same condition that was that before at that time. There is, because you see, at the beginning, the soul was designed to really be under the control of the spirit. And the spirit was connected with God, so you know, automatically the soul was choosing to do the things that God wanted us to do. Automatically, the soul was there. The purpose of the function that they had was to connect the spirit with the body. And the direction of the power and the information was from spirit to soul to body. With the fall, something happened. You see, the soul was designed to be obedient to God and obedient to the spirit and to implement in the body the things of the spirit. What happened is that man rebelled against that order and automatically separated himself from God. And at that moment, the soul, instead of being connected with the spirit, became connected with the body, and the body mostly became the predominant element that regulated what the soul wanted, the will. As a consequence of that, we became separated from God, from his spirit. And our spirit died because we're not anymore connected with God. Now, that's not the plan of God. The thing is, we cannot change that. And God designed the plan so that this that could be changed. Took many years. As he implemented this plan, and finally he sent Jesus so that we could benefit from what he did, so that we could be transferred from him. We're going to see this in detail because this is important to understand why certain things happens today the way they happen and not, you know, in a way that sometimes we expect them to happen. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a scripture that is interesting that shows how it works for us from spirit to soul and so on. You know, in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, this is when Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And, you know, Elizabeth, baby that was John the Baptist, moved into her womb. And so she said that, and Mary, you know, said, in verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. So see, so this is happening at the soul level. Okay. But it says that, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Now you can see that the tenses of these two parts of the sentences are different. The soul magnifies now because my spirit before. Read it again. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, the spirit has rejoiced. As a consequence of that, the information being transferred to the soul, and so she could actually magnify the Lord. See, the transfer happened that way. Now, whatever things happen to us is happening in that sequence. God deals with our spirit. And then our soul, if it's open to what's happening in the spirit, receives and operate on that. Now, and that, you know, and the function of the soul is actually to transfer the things to the body as well. Because the soul is where you make the decision. For example, to act in a certain way, to behave in a certain way. You think in a certain way, but that you're thinking has an effect on your behavior and the way the body works. See, the healing that comes from God comes from the spirit, passes through the soul, and so that anointing works into your body and changes the effect of the cells within your body so that even changes the position of the chromosomes in your body, on your cells. But that happens for the power that is in the spirit that is transferred from one level to another. Now, if the soul is cooperating with God, the transfer is easy. But often the soul has problem in cooperating with God for a lot of reason. As a will of its own. See, God has given us the ability to will independently of what he wants. And so because of that, to think independently of what he thinks. So the consequences of that is that we do not necessarily line up with God's will, and we do not necessarily line up with God's perception of things. We don't always line up with God's desire to pass the power from our spirit to our body. And so we do not manifest God's intention, because either we rebel against him, or because we don't understand them, or because we are in a completely different level and could think about different stuff. So we are really not focused. We are not really lining up in our thinking, in our position, in our behavior, in everything else, because there is a disconnect. Now, in the Old Testament, the spirit was damaged. With the New Testament, a change took place. And that change enabled God to operate and to dwell in us, so he should be able all the time to communicate to us, to minister to us. You know, if you look at the Old Testament, the things were pretty clear. Okay, if you obey God, you are blessed. If you disobey God, you are cursed. You know, there were consequences for what your soul chose. It says, therefore, today choose life, you know, so that you and your children may bless. May, you know, in old verse, Deuteronomy 28 and 30, they are all about all the blessings and the curses. Actually, the other way around, the curses and the blessing that we receive as a result of our response to what God communicates to us. The difference is that in the Old Testament, he communicated to us through the law. in the New Testament. And you know, when it comes to the law, the problem is when you have some statement, you have to just apply them, interpret and understand, and it didn't work very well. Plus, the heart, you know, was really against, basically, God. So, but in the New Testament, we got a new heart that is allow God to live in us. And so we, you know, the law is still valid. All the principles of the law is not that they are eliminated. But they are fulfilled in us because we become sensitized and we should be able to want what God wants. We should be able to want. And that's the key. Because soul sometimes doesn't quite follow God. Anyway, because of a number of reasons. Okay? Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith. That is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, the idea is this. Okay, that the way we get saved, and we have to understand the implication and the meaning of the word saved, is not a religious term. But it became a religious term because of religion. Salvation has to do with deliverance from all the bondages that came from the curse, from the fall. So we need to understand that the way to be saved, and we are going to see that more in detail, okay, it's not by our own effort or by our own thinking or what our own thing is by faith. Okay, and faith comes not by something that we think ourselves, but because we believe what God said, we follow God's direction. So we need to hear the word to have faith to be saved. And that applies to anything that we receive from God. So that actually what happens is that then we don't do ourselves. It's not by ourselves. We can't boast about that. But this is, we are his workmanship. He's the one doing us. He's the one making us. He's the one changing us. He's the one healing us. He's the one giving us breakthroughs. He's the one that does everything, and we just depend on him. And he made us in such a way that we should do the right thing. That's what it says in the following verse. We are his workmanship. Okay? Created in Christ Jesus. See, it's through what Jesus Christ did that we are able to do this. For good works. I mean, the good works has nothing else to do what God says to do. Okay? Which God prepared beforehand that he would be walking in them. So you see, this is nothing changed from the very beginning. But he made it possible for us by breaking that rebellion and by breaking the breakdown of communication between God and us. Now, we have to understand that even if that is true, you know, there is some leftover. Because he didn't change our mind, our soul, or our body. He changed our spirit when we were born again. Okay. Praise the Lord. But, you know, any change that happens within us, it's a supernatural manifestation of God's power. It's not our doing. Because we cannot pull ourselves up by our shoes. We have to have an outside point by which we can be lifted up and we can be set free. All right. That's why, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 5, verse 17. This is important to understand. You know, this verse, this really, you know, it says, if anyone is in Christ, you know, he is a new creation. You know, the translation is in Christ. I like the Williams translation in the New Testament that says, in union with Christ. You see, it's the union with Christ that makes that happen. You see, it's that connection with Him that is the transformation power that enables us to be a new creation. It says, all things have passed away, all things have become new, now all things are of God. Actually, you know, the of God there, if you really look at the Greek, they would be better translated, all things are from God. Okay, all the things that happen are coming from Him. So you have to be connected with Him for anything that you are trying to receive from God. Hallelujah. And what happened is this. You know, it's given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You know, He made him who knew no sin. You know, they knew the business of knowing. He knew pretty well sins because He understood them. You know, it's not, the word there is ginosko, which actually experienced that actually he did not sin. That's what it means. He knew not sin. Okay, he knew not sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And the righteousness of God is the fact that we became in good standing with God. God had nothing against us anymore because we are in him. You see, when that takes place, when this change takes place between us and him, he takes our place, he takes our sins, and we take his righteousness. That's what happens. And this touches not just our spirit, this touches everything. Because salvation includes all the part, you know, we can are not pieces separated. It touches our spirit, our soul, and our body. Everything is included into that. But that does not mean that the transformation is complete at the other levels. Okay? Hallelujah. So, maybe continue here. For it is written, curses, just another scripture. Okay. Or Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham may come unto the Gentiles, born unto the Gentile, in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you see, this is what happens. See, the reason, the redemption, the purpose is for us to be able to receive the Spirit of God inside us. And the Spirit of God was going to start operating in us for the transformation to take place. See, we are in the condition to receive. He put the Spirit inside us to actually empower us, to quicken us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is on us to actually manifest, to perform a resurrection in our parts of our soul and our body. Hallelujah. So, we may receive the promise. So we are in the condition now to receive both the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? So, we start living a life from the Spirit of resurrection that Jesus received is in us, is operating in us, and wants to bring us, quicken us, empower us also in the physical body so that you, even our body can receive, our soul can receive, every part receive from the Spirit of God. Okay? So, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, okay, says, shows how actually the body is important. So for he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So really is the body, the physical part even, is not just the spiritual part, is involved. Body, soul, and spirit, starting from the spirit to the soul, to the body. Okay. Now, so salvation is not just a mental thing or an emotional thing. It touches every part of us. Okay? Every part of us involves the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. The abundant life is the manifestation of salvation in us. All right? Now, we experience only a degree of that. The question is, why? Why we just get only a part of it for now? Why don't get the whole thing? Well, evidently we don't, because we are not, your body still dies. Okay. We still sometimes get sick. But there is a beginning of a demonstration of the reality of the power of God as we can receive from him breakthroughs of the problems that the enemy tries to put on us. And that is the evidence of the things that are going to be coming. You know, why that happens? Well, there are lots of reasons. Ignorance is one of them. Some of them, you know, you may know that, you know, God wants to save you, but you may not know that God wants to heal you. And so you don't get it. But even after you know that, that's, you know, sometimes you don't just, you know it, but you are really so caught up into the evidences and the symptoms and so on that you don't have the faith to receive it. And that has to be changed. You know, the fact that once you do, you had to accept it and you had to appropriate it. You know, there is a component that you had to do that sometimes you had to actually do. And if you don't do it, nothing happens. You know, even this, you're being born again, which is only a little part of salvation. I mean, being born again is not the complete salvation. Being born again is just your spirit that is reborn. There is much more in your salvation. Okay, so there are many things that we need to receive. And this is, you know, how is that done? Well, that is done, you know what it says in Romans 10:8 and following verses. The word is near you in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, I mean, Jesus' lordship, you know, is the fact that he is Lord of the situation, that he has resolved everything. It is the Lord of your life, of your spirit, of your soul, and of your body. Now, we agree with that theoretically, but sometimes when it comes practically, you know, we have problem appropriating it. So we confess that. And so there is a part of confession that we had to do, and it's a part that we had to do. It's not just a question of, yeah, I believe it. You know, you confess with your mouth that, and you believe with your heart. And so that's another part that you had to do. You had to actually believe that. You had to believe that, but you know, your heart can choose what you believe. And so you can be there tossed around between two things, to believe and not believe. And unbelief is there all the time together with belief. And you have to see how much of that and the other one is there. I mean, you can see in James chapter 1, 5 to 7 and 5 to 8, says very clearly that if you are wavering, you won't get anything. So you see, but wavering means so one moment you believe it because you're reading the word and you're really pumped up and you really want to do it and you really want to receive it. The next moment you're looking at your symptoms and you're there thinking, oh my goodness, you know, when is he going to do it? When instead he's done already. See, you had to move off from the physical and not be controlled by the physical. Your soul should not be controlled by your physical body, but should be controlled by your spirit, who knows that Jesus died for your sin and you also, you know, took your sickness and your pain on himself. So you had to believe. And then, you know, God, you believe that God raised him from the dead. That means, you know, that you realize about the resurrection power. See, that this power is greater than all the physical things. This is a supernatural evidence that we should go to realize, yes, I mean, he did it. Okay? And then, so he said, you believe with your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the word saved there is sozo, which means made whole. It doesn't mean just that your spirit is going to be fixed. It means delivered, healed, spirit, soul, and body. So this should be moving from the spirit down to the body. Okay. For with the heart one believes into righteousness. That means to be accepted in good standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, which is really soteria, which deliverance, preservation, safety. So you see, that's the things with the mouth you implement the truth that you believe in the heart. Amen? So one of the things that we had to do is really to see our confession. Are we confessing the victory? Are we confessing what Jesus has done? Are we confessing that we are overcoming this? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So all the parts of your body actually are involved here. You see, the heart, you know, you're thinking, you're operating, you're believing, and so on, is operating there. But also the body, you know, your confession, your action on it, I mean, your responses to things. All these things are part of the process of salvation. Salvation is, you know, there is a component that can be instantaneous, but there are other parts that are not. When it manifests, it's instantaneous because it's a breakthrough. But in all levels, how do you receive your salvation? You see, essentially, he said it there, the formula they give us there in Romans chapter, you know, 10, verse 8 and following, you know. But however, lots of people struggle with receiving salvation. Both, you know, struggling, even after being received salvation, they struggle with sin. I mean, what's the indication that they're struggling with sin? It means that their soul really don't believe in the freedom that they have acquired. What's the difference between struggling with sin and struggling with sickness? It's the same thing. Some people struggle with the assurance of being saved. They really don't know, am I saved or am I not? Well, if you believe that you are saved, there is not a question in your mind. But if you, so you see, you can move on from one the level to another or believe according to the degree of believe and unbelief that is inside you. Some people are there struggling about not knowing that they are saved for years because they haven't read the scripture anymore, because they haven't immersed themselves, because they have not connected with God at that level. Well, it's any level of you, body, mind, spirit, anything, it works the same way. Are you following me? So the fact that some things don't happen instantaneously is the way it is. And we have to understand that there are things that we can do to change and to bring about breakthroughs in all the different areas. And evidently, there are different things that are required for different areas. The environment you are in is important. Because the environment you are in has an influence on you. And the environments you are in is going to affect the way you think and the way you look at things and you have to judge things. The things that you hear, the things that you think, the things you meditate on, the things that you spend time with makes all the difference. What are you focusing on? You give power. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So when we understand the process, that is a progressive degree of victory that we get. The spirit is being renewed, but the other parts are lagging behind. Okay? You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, says, therefore, my beloved, Philippians 2, 12, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, that shows very clearly that if you had to work it out, it's not an instantaneous thing. It's something that you develop as you allow God to communicate and to transfer that power that, you know, remember, we are changed not because of us, but because of the power we receive from our spirit. He is there. You see, we can boast about it. It's not a question, well, you know, I'm going to fast 50 days and God has to do this. It doesn't work that way. It works that you receive from God. You can take it in 1 second. If you have no any contrary reaction to what God is saying, and you say, I believe God, what God is saying. I receive that. I appropriate that. So you start confessing it, and you start rejecting any other thought because you believe the word of God. You see, you trust God. That's the basis of your faith. You trust what God said. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, you okay? So, we had to, you know, we had the problem distinguishing sometimes between soul and spirit, between mental assent and faith. We just believe, we agree with it, and they say, okay, I believe it, I have faith. In reality, we just agree, you know, on a mental level, but really are not, you know, there are still element of unbelief working inside us. There is still doubt there that need to be overcome. All right. Now, we had to learn to depend on the word of God and not our senses. And that's not an easy thing for us to do. Okay? So we had to be in the Word, and the Word is the answer. See, Jesus said, my Word, they are spirit and they are life. So this is where we get it. The more we stay in the Word, the more we meditate on the Word, and the more we are successful. Just read Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says something really interesting. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You see, that's what has to happen. You see, when our soul gets saved, say, well, what do you mean? I accept Jesus, yeah, your spirit. You are born again, but your soul needs fixing yet. So when your soul, the end of your faith, see, when your faith is completely operating, you know, receiving there, receiving the end of your faith, the word is not lambano there. That's interesting. Okay, the word is kolombao, which actually means to take back. That's something we had before. But now we had to take it back. We had to get our soul. You see, our soul, our spirit may be born again, but our soul need to be renewed. And we had to take it back, you know, step by step, point by point, precept by precept. Everything we had to take one piece at a time until we are established our ground. Are you following me? This is a process, and we have to realize it's a process, because otherwise we make the mistake to believe that we have faith when instead we have only mental assent. Because there is no difference for us. We don't feel any difference in our soul about that. The thing is, mental assent is not going to work. And so we end up taking steps bigger than our ability to take the steps. We make decision on the point of believing something that we have it, but we don't have it, which is actually presumption, not faith. Are you following me? So we had to start distinguishing or start identifying the difference between faith and mental assent. And our spirit actually gives that to us. And this is something that I'm not going to get too much into that here today. But our conscience purpose is actually to tell that to us. If we sensitize our conscience, because we can even mess up our conscience. Okay. Okay. So are you following me? See, really, our soul cannot, when we are alive, it cannot really be separated from our body. When our body dies, then it's separated and goes with our spirit. Okay. But it's there and it's always as a strongly influenced by our body. And the thing is, you see, that our soul is our identity. It's the way we perceive ourselves. It's the way we, everything is us. Often, you know, when the word soul in the New Testament, for example, is used, you know, instead of saying soul, it talks about life, your life. So really, your life, your existence, your identity, the way you see yourself is really determined by your soul. What you're going to get from God is determined by your soul. You see, when you are born again, it's because your soul decides, I'm going to believe Jesus or what he has done. Are you following me? Okay. So you see, our soul is actually quite powerful. All right? So, we want to deal with that. We cannot ignore the way our soul operates. All right. Now, when God's plan is for the power of God that he wants to make available to us, to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. We already have it. Okay? But the way we appropriated that in 1 Peter, you know, said very clearly, is through what? The knowledge of him. So we had to understand the way things operate to be able to receive the things that he has provided for us. If we don't know that you want us to be saved, you know, be born again, we're never going to be. If the only thing that we are exposed to is the fact that, you know, when you accept Jesus, you are born again, then that's the only thing you're going to get. That's the knowledge you have. If you believe that, you have more than that, that he wants to make you healthy, then, you can start appropriating that. As your mind start, as your soul start dealing with that issue. And if you go even further, you know, the fact that God wants you to prosper in everything you do. But you have to, start to accept that. Some people think, if I have enough money, it's a problem. Well, then you automatically don't believe that he can do that and he wants to do that with you. Depends what you do with it. Okay. So, he is the firstborn from the dead. But his transformation was complete. I mean, it wasn't just a question, he was born again, although, you know, his spirit evidently is not anymore under the sin that he took on himself. Okay. So, but his body is automatically fully transformed because his mind, I mean his soul, was prepared for it. You see, he had a full understanding. There was no doubt in him when he died that he was not going to be resurrected. There was no doubt in him that his body wouldn't be completely restored. To the point that he's fully restored. When he was born again, there was no sin in him anymore. There was no sickness. There was no death. There was, you know, death was completely overcome. I mean, we aren't there, are we? We are. The thing is, God is preparing us to get there. And it's not something that we can do ourselves. It's something that he is going to do himself. It's, you know, we had to put ourselves in a position to manifest the transfer of the power of resurrection from our spirit to our body and through our soul and to our body. And that's to start with our believing in our soul, agreeing with our soul, you know, accepting with our soul, taking steps, making decisions, so for that to happen. Do you see what I am saying? So we are going to go through a process in which we are going to develop what we can actually achieve. From one break, you know, Paul says it, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You see, as we appropriate by faith different step or different aspect of our life, then that manifestation of the glory of God is going to be in us so that we can become what God wants us to be. And each step is not us doing it. We just line up with his thinking so that he can actually do it in us. And we are saved to a degree, a greater degree that we were saved before. And so, you know, for example, if we need healing, each healing that we get better are receiving healing. The bigger the healing we get, the bigger a breakthrough we had, because we overcome the bondage of our thought to make the disease big, when instead God is bigger. It becomes bigger in us. Any bondage that we have that we can overcome in terms of sin. See, that's why I was talking before about the obedience that you have is a component of the manifestation. You see, there is a truth that is revealed to us. And as the truth is revealed to us and we are obedient to that truth, the truth automatically releases the power of God in that particular area in which we are going to have a manifestation that is greater than what we had before, but it's by our obedience that we line up ourselves with God. Are you following me? So you see, this is it's a work of cooperation. You know, God is there wanting to do things, and we are here allowing him to do it. Agreeing with him. This is what makes us breakthrough. Now, you know, you can see from there, it becomes very important not just to be religious, but to hear from God. Because you need to hear what is the next breakthrough, that what is the next step, what is the next obedience that you had to have. It could be just more than one to see what you want to get. But each step you take, you get closer to the breakthrough that you want. Or that you need. So you know the thing I can tell you, the advice I can give you is to ask him. Ask him, what is the next step that I had to take? What is my next obedience that I had to follow? You know, if you ask him, remember, go and read first James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. because it's no use to ask if you don't apply that those verses. Okay? So my, you know, go to God by yourself, believing, and asking, what is the next step that you want me to do? It may not give you the answer, the solution to the whole problem, but it's going to take you a step closer as you implement it to the answer that you're going to get. And then after you had done that, you say, okay, I've done it. And you're going to feel something different. You're going to change something. But you say then, what next? You see, that God wants to have a relationship with you, doesn't want you to follow 1, 2, 3 steps. He wants you to receive from him the steps that you need to take. Try it out. Then tell me. Maybe you have a testimony next week. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we should pray. Yeah? You got anything today? All right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you care about my situation, my needs. And I'm here, Lord, asking you for your direction, your anointing, your power. I know, Lord, that I cannot do it in my own strength, but with your Holy Spirit who dwells in me, I can do all things because you empower me to overcome. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord. I receive that today, and I appropriate your ability to talk to me so that I can hear what I have to obey for the next step toward my victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.